Hello friends, welcome to VSchool. We are on chapter 11. In the previous chapter, we saw about the compliance and the regulatory requirements. Whereas this chapter, chapter 11, we are going to understand the due diligence. What is the meaning of due diligence? And what are the various due diligence that are required to be done in case of mergers and acquisitions? This chapter helps you understand the concept and need of due diligence, the transactions and people required for due diligence, the steps and types of due diligence, and the due diligence team. So very, very important aspects of due diligence will be learnt in this chapter. First, the question arises, why due diligence? Mergers and acquisitions involve a huge investment of financial resources. No buyer would like to lose money through a bad deal. To evaluate a commercial viability of a deal, the buying company undertakes a process known as due diligence. While due diligence is not an insurance against a bad deal, it provides assurance that the deal is viable. In this chapter, we will learn what is due diligence, what's the need for due diligence, what does due diligence involve, the transactions requiring due diligence, the people involved in the due diligence process, those interested in due diligence, the steps in due diligence, the types of due diligence, the goals of due diligence, conducting IP due diligence effectively. When we talk in terms of IP, the patents, the trademarks, the copyrights, the trade secrets, it will also throw light on information technology due diligence, the litigation analysis. Thus, due diligence ensure against the merger and acquisition failure. How should the due diligence team be, and why does due diligence fail? So very, very comprehensive understanding of due diligence will be obtained with this chapter. So let's start with the term due diligence. The term due diligence is used by different people in different contexts. In general, it implies to an activity involving either the performance of an investigation of a business or person, or the performance of an act with a certain standard or care. In some other cases, it is used to mean a required legal obligation, although the term more commonly applies to a voluntary investigation. It can also include the precautionary steps taken by one company in deciding whether to acquire another by evaluating whether the buy is commercially good. Due diligence is also described as a process of investigation performed by the investors into the details of a potential investment, such as the examination of operations and management and verification of the material facts. When the concept is analyzed from a financial angle, it implies a process of research and analysis that takes place before an acquisition, investment of business partnership to determine the value of the firm in the question. Similarly, for the banking industry, it means the responsibility of the bank directors and the officers to act in a prudent manner in evaluating the credit application. In the securities market, it refers to the responsibility of the underwriters to explain the details of the new securities to the interested purchasers. So having understood due diligence from different contexts, let us go through a proper definition on due diligence. Due diligence is legally defined as a measure of prudence actively or assiduity as is properly to be examined from an ordinary exercise by a reasonable and prudent person under the particular circumstances, not measured by any absolute standard, but dependent on the relative facts of the special case. So this is purely from a legal angle. Due diligence is obviously not what the critic thinks it to be. A slow torture in the form of a length checklist, a stress test for the executive team, a chance to prove that one team is smarter than the other, a delay tactics until another fund takes interest. The basic function of due diligence in any merger acquisition is to assess the potential risk of a proposed transaction by inquiring into all the relevant aspects of the past, present, and the predictable future of the business to be purchased. The term is also used in the securities law to describe the duty of care and review to be exercised by the officers, directors, underwriters, and others in connection with the public offering of securities. The process helps in getting a realistic picture of how the business is performing and how it is likely to perform in the future. So this is the basic function. Let me repeat it once again. To assess the potential risk of a proposed transaction by inquiring into all the relevant aspects of the past, present, and predictable future of the business to be purchased. It's also used in the securities law to describe the duty of care and review to be exercised by the officers, directors, underwriters, and others in connection with the public offering. The process helps in getting the realistic picture of how the business is performing now and how it is likely to be performing in the future. So the basic activities to meet the due diligence standards of common law and best practices. Let us understand this. The due diligence effort is a merger in a merger transaction should include the basic activities to meet the due diligence standards of common law and best practices, such as 1, the financial statements review. What does a financial statement review do? It confirms the existence of assets, liabilities, and the equity in the balance sheet and determines the financial health of the company based on the income statement. So the primary purpose of a financial statement review is to determine the financial health of the company. Next comes the management and operation review. What does it do? It determines the quality and reliability of financial statements and helps to gain a sense of contingencies beyond the financial statements. What does the legal compliance review do? It checks for the potential future legal problems, streamlining or streaming from the target's past. What does the document and transaction review do? It ensures that the paperwork of the deal is in order and that the structure of the transaction is appropriate. So due diligence can also be transactional in nature. What do you mean by transactional in nature? This process involves an investigation by an investor or advisors of the accurate and complete character of the target company's business. The target may be an acquisition candidate, a joint venture, or a strategic partner, a prospective public offering registrant, or a company the investor is considering for minority interest private placements. When the investor and the target are in the same industry, transactional due diligence explores the financial, operational, or the managerial synergies between them. Due diligence is also linked to investors' corporate strategy. Due diligence process makes sense when it is linked to the investors' corporate strategy. It includes investigating the target's legal status from its proper legal authorization to do business to its actual or contingent liabilities and all points in between. It also includes the analyzing the target's historical, current, and the projected financial statements. Now, how does a potential investor investigate the background and the principles of the target company? A potential investor generally uses in-house resources or outsources a job to experts who specialize in due diligence and corporate investigation. The purpose, however, remains the same: to investigate the background and principles of the target company. A potential investor may also seek a legal counsel and professional accountants to get an expert advice in all areas. On completion of the investigation exercise, one knows what one is getting into, what are the needs to be fixed, what it will cost to fix them, whether the prospect is a right target to take on. If the buyer or the investor fails to undertake due diligence, he is left with no choice but to agree to the price stated by the vendor. Now, having understood what exactly is due diligence, let us understand the need for due diligence. To understand and assess the future earning capabilities of the entity, one needs to thoroughly analyze the industry and the environment. Due diligence becomes crucial for various reasons. The number one reason is to know the strength and weakness. Due diligence enables the investor to know the strength and weakness of the business one is buying. The second reason, determine a fair value of investment. Due diligence gives a fair value of investment to the potential investor, thereby increasing his bargaining power. The third need arises for identifying the hidden irregularities existing in the business. Very often, on the face of it, things seem fine, since events are very cleverly window dressed. It is only when one decides to undertake a microscopic analysis of facts and events that the irregularities come to the light. Due diligence is a reliable tool for identifying inherent irregularities that are otherwise hidden. Ensuring that the prevailing system of checks works, due diligence is an effective tool for ensuring that the prevailing system of check works. In creating a system, one must consider all the aspects of the business from the design stage to the after sales, identify the risk, adopt appropriate controls and safeguards, record the actions, and keep the systems under review. All this is best done through the due diligence. Now, what does the due diligence actually involve? Due diligence is a very lengthy process of reviewing information. The information that is reviewed includes the historical financial data. It also includes current financial data. It also includes forecasted financial information, the business plans, the minutes of directors' meetings and management meetings, the audit, paperwork files, the contracts with the suppliers, customers, and the staff, the confirmation representation from the financiers, debtors, etc. How to get an idea about the state of the target. Due diligence should not be restricted to reviewing the documentation alone. Discussions with the staff, both formal and informal talks, visiting the target's premises, and observing the ongoing activities also gives an idea about the state of the target. Now, what are the transactions requiring due diligence? Due diligence provides a deep insight into the activities of the business along with the prevailing business environment and the future prospects of the business. The areas where due diligence proves indispensable are the personnel, the financial operations, the marketing, the property and equipment, and the business operations. Let us look at this one by one. The first one is the personnel. During the merger and acquisition, a buyer has to absorb the human resources of the target company, and hence it is imperative for the buyer to review the employee skills, experience, wages, payroll, procedures, and other relevant human resource issues. Based on this analysis, they determine whether there is any deadwood in the target company, and accordingly, the buyer would negotiate and, if possible, get rid of the deadwood. What is to be looked into? Financial operations. The end objective of any merger and acquisition deal is to improve the company's bottom line. The buying entity tries to figure out the financial implications of the buy. The details a target company looks into are the company's books and records, all accounts and bookkeeping methods, analysis of the cash flows, both present and projected, accounts receivable, debts and banks, lenders' relations, service or product pricing, and its consistency with the industry standards. What is to be seen in a marketing due diligence? The future earning potential to a great extent depends upon the marketing activities and the related strategies of the target company. It is therefore crucial to examine the company's advertising campaigns, the public relations programs, the marketing and the sales strategies, the marketing and the advertising strategies of the competitors also. What is to be seen in the property and equipment due diligence? The acquirer would like to take over only the assets that will prove beneficial for them. They need to take certain steps like review all the related leases and or deeds, conduct appraisals for all the equipments and assets, consider depreciation in property and equipment values. This also helps the buyer to estimate the purchase consideration for the deal, which is the value it finally pays for taking over the business of the target company. What is to be seen in a business operations? Understanding the business operations of the target company is a real key to the success for an acquiring company. The analysis requires looking into the location of the organization, adherence to the inventory management techniques, vendor management, overall administration policies, receivables and customer relationship management, safety management, and insurance cover taken, any other aspects specifically to business one proposes to buy. So these are the various aspects we look into the business operations. Now, due diligence is as important to the seller as to a buyer. It is not just restricted to the buyer. The sale of a business invariably includes the warranties given by the seller in relation to certain aspects of the business. For example, the seller is usually asked to warrant that the activities of the business do not infringe on any third party intellectual rights and that no third parties are infringing on any of the company's licenses, ID systems, etc. To ensure that such issues are properly addressed, it is preferred that a seller to carry out a due diligence exercise on his own. Similarly, the sellers also need to conduct due diligence to determine the ability of the buyer to complete the sale transaction, analyze the past record of the previous acquisition of the buyer, etc. Now let's look at the partnerships. Now let's look at the due diligence aspect related with partnership. A partnership is a relationship between persons who come together for carrying on a business activity and decides to share the profits or bear the losses arising from it. Due diligence is carried out in various forms of partnership, such as the strategic alliances and partnerships, business partners and alliances, partnering agreements, business coalitions, just-in-time suppliers and relationships, sole suppliers and outsourcing arrangements, technology and product licensing, joint development agreements, technology sharing and cross-licensing agreements, franchises and the franchisers, value-added resellers, value-added dealers, and distribution relationships. These are the various aspects that we look at from the partnerships. Now, what do we look in from the joint ventures and collaborations? Before entering into a major commercial agreement, such as a joint venture or a collaboration with a company, a collaboration partner may want to carry out a due diligence. A larger company will conduct the due diligence to ensure that its investment in the smaller company is capable of yielding returns. It also helps the larger company to confirm that a startup has the requisite systems, personnel, expertise, and resources to meet its obligations. Now, who are the people involved in the due diligence process? The due diligence process can involve a wide range of professionals. It includes the company's professional advisors, such as people dealing with the legal, tax, accounting, and operational issues. The finance professionals, the legal professionals, the operational professionals. Now let us look at this one by one. today's organization require huge financial resources for their operations, whether it's a case of due diligence for the purpose of mergers and acquisition or private placement. Both the investor and the target typically rely on an in-house personnel such as the CFOs and the finance controllers to guide them through the process. Quite often, companies hire the services of outside auditors for the purpose. Apart from this, companies even hire the services of underwriters, registrars, investment bankers, and commercial banks to manage the national and cross-border public offerings. Legal professionals, what are these roles? What is their role? The modern business environment is so complex that even mid-sized deals involve experts in corporate tax, real estate, employee benefits, insurance, and other kinds of legal specialties. Companies do not like to take any chances on the legal front. Hence, the involvement of legal experts is always preferred in the process of due diligence. Most of the legal work related to due diligence is done in-house if the companies have adequate legal staff. Outside counsel is also likely to be involved in larger and complex transactions. What's the role of operational professionals? Buyers must evaluate every material aspect of the target's business so that it does not result in value destruction instead of value creation post-merger. For this purpose, the key in-house operating personnel as well as the outside consultants are instructed to scrutinize the target's business and report their findings to the decision makers. Operational due diligence includes investigating the target's intellectual property, its production, sales and marketing efforts, human resources, and other operational issues. It is essential that the operational professionals selected to conduct the due diligence have the domain knowledge of that particular industry. Now, who are those interested in the due diligence? Apart from individuals who are actively involved in carrying out the process of due diligence, there are individuals who are interested in the outcome of the process, and they can be employees, trade unions, shareholders and creditors, the vendors, the customers, the government, and the society. How are the employees interested in the actual due diligence? Due diligence is undertaken to address the fears of employees, the post-merger that might be laid off or their salaries may be reduced. Due diligence gives a fair idea about the motives of the buyer and what he proposes to do once the merger is complete. In the case of trade unions, unions are interested in due diligence for they want to ensure that no employee faces an axe or cut in pay post-merger. They ensure that the agreement addresses the concerns of the employees and assures them continuity in the employment. In case of shareholders and creditors have a financial stake in the business. They are not only concerned about the principal amount invested by them, but also expect regular returns from the project. Their interest in the due diligence origins from this desire. Due diligence gives them a fair idea about risk involved in the project, which in turn determines the future returns from the business. In case of vendors are entities who supply various inputs such as the raw materials, tools, equipment to the business. Their fortune is related to the company to which they supply the inputs and the other requirements. The due diligence exercise gives them a very clear idea on the direction in which the merger is moving. The decision of continuing the relationship or distancing one's business from the entity is based on the result of due diligence. How are customers connected? Customers desire that the needs and requirements should be fulfilled by the company. When a merger happens, there can be a drastic change in the business model. This may affect the product range of the company and thus the capacity to fulfill the customer's needs. Due diligence provides details about the future operational strategy of the business and helps them decide on their consumption patterns. How the government benefits. The state is responsible for ensuring the rights and privileges of all the stakeholders are protected. Post-merger, the entire business mode of the company might undergo drastic changes affecting the stakeholders adversely. Based on the projections and findings of the due diligence process, The government can decide on the course of action it needs to pursue to protect the interests of the stakeholders. If the government finds that the merger will have an adverse impact on the stakeholders' rights, it may enact laws to prevent or reduce the adverse impact of the merger. In case of society, every society provides resources for all the types of activities. While resources are scarce and resource requirements unlimited, the society performs the role of a watchdog so that the wastage of resources can be curtailed. It is important for the society to understand the course that events are taking and ready itself for appropriate action. This is where the due diligence process provides it with the much needed feedback and the basis for action. So having understood this interested parties in due diligence, now let us understand the steps in due diligence. The process of due diligence comprises certain phases, such as the planning phase, the data collection phase, the data analysis phase, the report finalization phase, and the due diligence reporting phase. What happens in the planning phase? All the initial planning relating to the conduct of the due diligence is done in the planning phase. It includes defining the scope, deciding the focus area, finalizing the team structure, defining the responsibilities, defining the time schedules, communicating information requirements. Let us look at this one by one. The first, the defining of scope. The entity desirous of undertaking due diligence constitutes a committee or a team for carrying out the entire exercise. The due diligence team discusses the proposed transaction and defines the objective intended to be attained through the exercise. Once the objective has been established, the availability of resources is studied and determined, and the areas on which the team has to be focused are defined. Now, how do we decide the focus area? After deciding the scope of due diligence, the next step is to decide on the focus. The focus area includes sustainability of business, financials, competition, management team and organization culture, potential liabilities, technology, existing market and potential, and business to business fit. Now comes the time to finalize the team structure. The entire exercise of due diligence requires varied skills and expertise. While forming the due diligence team, one should ensure that the members possess the specific skills and backgrounds so that the due diligence process is successfully completed. The team members should be capable of collecting and analyzing information about the target company, the transactions, the industry, as well as the due diligence objectives. Now comes the stage of defining the responsibilities. Every due diligence efforts requires integration of efforts and communication with multiple parties. Planning should be done in such a manner that responsibilities and expected outputs are clearly defined and the team can work collectively towards a common goal. How are the time schedules defined? Before starting the due diligence process, it is better to define the time schedule for each step. Scheduling the time for each key step helps in achieving the results in the desired time frame and helps the parties attain the desired goal without the loss of time and energy. Next step is communicating information requirements. The success of any due diligence program depends on the team's ability to collect complete, accurate, and timely information. Each member needs to collect information as early and specifically as possible so that the delays can be avoided. This can be done by informing the team members of the expectations from them and the timelines. The next crucial step is finalizing the templates and tools required. Based on the scope, needs, and the objectives, the due diligence team should decide on the tools to be used, such as the interest, database search, regulatory database search, questionnaires, worksheets, and other communication methods such as the interviews. Now comes the data collection phase. The data collection stage involves collecting existing business process data. The approach used for data collection depends on the number of factors, which includes the desired precision, the nature of questions that needs to be answered, availability of time, money, and access to the information providers. The sources of information that can be tapped include the internet, the regulatory organization, the databases, the competitors, the vendors, the customers, industry association, etc. Research can be qualitative or even quantitative.